We're reading the will of God this morning. The will of God is His Word for me. And when I begin to operate in His will, dear God, I'm going to tell you, God is the one that spoke this universe into existence. What can't He do? He can do anything. And it says He can do anything through me if I am willing to live by the Word. He can do it. So, an old bucket of rust, I don't know what that car is doing today. Probably in a junkyard somewhere. But dear God, it was used to win a soul into the kingdom. Everything we do, every move we make, every thought that we have should be centered into winning souls for Christ. That's the role of the layman in the church today. Documents of Vatican Council II. Whatever you're doing, whether speaking or acting, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no room in a Christian's life for heaping and storing and make provisions for. There's just no room for that. It says, oh, where the thief can break in and steal. Now, I usually ask, how many of you have ever had your home broken into? But I'm going to change it this morning. How many of you have ever had anything stolen from you? Everybody? We've all had things stolen from us. One of the things that a thief always looks for that he considers valuable is money. Or either jewelry. Jewelry is probably one of the greatest enticements to a thief. I mean, he sees jewelry and he just goes crazy. It creates covetousness. Big diamonds. I mean, they'll just covet. I mean, they'll just desire it. And I've found in speaking across this country to literally hundreds of thousands of people that their homes that were broken into, the first thing that a thief would go after was the jewelry. The second thing was money. And the third thing, that if they didn't find jewelry or money, they'd take the TV set on the way out. Or the stereo. Because it was something that they could hawk for money. Now, Jesus tells us, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth where the thief can steal, the rust and the moth destroy them. In other words, well, let me give you an example. I was in the Philippine Islands, and over there you've got two classes of people. You've got the wealthy people and you've got the poor people. You don't have any in between. And the people that invited us to the Philippines just happened to be very wealthy. I don't think we'll ever get an invite back. because when I begin to preach this, the poor people loved it. But the rich people hated it. And I was living with the rich. There was a whole week there that I didn't see the people that were supposed to be taking care of us, you know. I was looking. And this woman, well, the lady that was in charge of, that was the wife of the man that owned this big mansion that we lived in, and they had a big fortress around it, and armed guards at every gate with sawed-off shotguns. I thought, oh, what's that for? Don't nobody breaking in here and taking our valuables. You see, if those valuables being used to push the gospel of Jesus, they wouldn't have to have armed guards to protect it. And don't think I didn't tell them. And this one precious lady told my wife, she says, I've got a 16-carat diamond down in the safety deposit box. I'm afraid to wear it. This is before she heard my message. Valuable. I'm going to tell you something. It had no value at all. I'm going to tell you it's useless. It is absolutely worthless. Its purpose, there is none. The only thing that these things that we've adorned ourselves with, those are a point of pride. Look what I've got. I mean, you know, you ever seen the ladies that come to church on Sunday, the big hats? I mean, the only reason they've come is to show off their new apparel and that big, wonderful diamond. no value at all. It's a symbol of the world. And I've had people say, in my safety deposit box, I've got a lot of valuables. Irreplaceable. Do you ever hear people say that? You cannot replace these valuables. And I tell them, I said, well, glory to God, who'd want to? Because they're useless. If they're not working to bring the world into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it has no value at all. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. In other words, we must begin to put every effort that we can into getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. The true gospel, the gospel message of unconditional love, so that when we pray, we hit the mark. Our every effort, and the source of our energy should be directed for souls. The thoughts that we have should be directed for souls. Feeding the hungry. I tell you what, if you would like a good vacation, the next vacation, go down and visit Father Rick Thomas in Juarez, Mexico for a week. Go down there and spend a week with him. And watch the miracles of God. It's the most astounding thing I've ever seen. They don't miss the mark. They hit the mark. I've walked in cells in the Juarez jail that would be as big as this room, just one big room with 200 men in it. How many we got in here today? 50? We'll just add another 150 to it, and each one of them with a blanket, and that's all they got. And the ceilings are about this high, and they got little teeny windows at the very top, bars about that big. The Juarez jail. And when these wonderful brothers walk in that Juarez jail, they're armed with guitars. That's all. And food. And they walk in there and they... There's four guitar players and they walk into the cell singing. And these guys are all coming off, And they just start... What's one of those songs that... Under La Crista Rey... La Barrea, La Barrea. But there's another one they sing. And these guitars they got they look to me like they're handmade. And they got these big catgut strings. And they get to beating those things and they'll break them. And they'll throw the guitar out and this little boy will catch it and restring the guitar and throw it back in. And they never miss a beat. And when they sing for about 30 minutes, there's a guy will stand up and they say, we, in Spanish, I don't know, I'm standing there going, wow. And boy, I thought I was something. You know, these guys here, they're real evangelists. Everything they do is for the purpose of winning souls. One cell after another. And then they give an altar call and tell them that they must repent of their sin. They must accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And you ought to see those prisoners hitting the floor. Then we go to the nut ward. And people walking around going, And Father will take one and said, just get him. And just pack salt in his mouth and anoint him with oil. And the first thing you know, he's walking around, he's all right. It's amazing. And he's got 40... servants out in the courtyard reading scripture and praising and praying in tongues while he's doing this. He takes about 5 men and he walks in and he does, while he's got 40 out in the same room in the courtyard praying and reading scripture over and over, reading one. They'll pick one scripture and they say, we're going to read this scripture over and over and over and over and over. And we spent all day long. I come out of that place and says, dear God, give me a bed somewhere. And they were just a-going. Pumping out. Mm-hmm. beat anything I'd ever witnessed in my life. True treasures. I have the glorious opportunity to speak with Father Rick Thomas in San Diego in Thanksgiving weekend of this year. And whenever I have an opportunity, and well, we've sent many truckloads of stuff to him, because when I preach and speak like this, I said, if you would like to, you know, when you start cleaning out your closets, getting rid of those things that the moths are eating, I know where there's people that are naked, that are laying up against the border, dying from exposure to the elements, living in cardboard boxes, little kids 3 years old, in and out of traffic, begging for money. I'm going to tell you, it breaks my heart. And to think of all that we have, to think of all that we have at our disposal, to think of all of the things that we could do if our hearts were truly in tune to winning souls. Now, I'd like to close this morning. For Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart. See, our heart must be centered into the kingdom of God. It must be centered in Jesus. Now, I'm going to read you something that I believe goes right along with the reading that we just had to show you the parallel. In Mexico right now, probably one of the greatest famines in Central America, the reason they're having such an uproar and turmoil, one of the greatest famines and depressions that the Central United States or the Central America countries have ever experienced is in process right now. The money devaluation, the government take over the banks, people have lost everything. Now just think about this. If you was to get up and walk out of this room and somebody was to meet you at the door and say, brother, everything that you have is gone. Now, I'm going to tell you, it could happen. Listen, the government just took over. You no longer have anything. There's where you're going to find where you're... If you've been investing in God's work, won't bother you. You say, well, praise the Lord. Didn't have nothing no how. Glory to God. Everything I have is working for the kingdom anyhow. You see, that's what happened to Mexico. And the people that were caught in the middle, they rushed for the United States border. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever... I fly along that border coming back from California to Florida. And get down low enough, you can see. I mean, people die. It's incredible what's going on along our border. People laying at our gate, longing just for food and clothing. That's all. Just something to eat. Not for the big diamond or the big fine car. They don't want that. They just want something to eat. Now, I'm going to read this scripture to you. What time is Mass? Yeah, we've got time to cover this. Because, you see, it's the Word that brings light to our hearts, that moves us into a spiritual realm to where we can begin to move for God. There was a rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linens and feast magnificently every day. And there at his gate lay a poor man called Lazarus. This is in Luke 16:19. Covered with sores, listen, who longed to be filled with the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. He didn't want to sit down at the table. He didn't want to get the table dirty. He just wanted to get the crumbs that fell from the table. Let me tell you how this particular scripture became real to me. I was invited to speak at a Full Gospel Businessmen in Oakland, California. And they always feed the speaker first. You can tell that I've been well fed. And because, see, they're going to feed me first so I can get up and talk while the rest of them meeting, because it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And the people around my table, I'm sharing, you know, the things that God's doing, and I'm eating, and I'm also looking in Scripture for some, idea of what God would want me to speak on this morning. And as I'm eating and sharing and looking, I run across this scripture. And I got to the point I was reading, and it says, the poor man who longed to fill himself from the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Where do the scraps fall from when you're eating at the table? Where do they fall from? Your mouth. They don't roll off the table. They fall from your mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. I sat there that morning and I read that, and God let me look on the floor and half of my egg had dropped from my jaws and fallen on the floor. And I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most sobering moments that I've ever had. To realize that there's people in the world that would love to be laying on the floor just catching the stuff that comes falling out of my mouth. He said dogs came and licked his sores. Now, when I was a kid, I had very severe infantigo. My legs and arms were eat up with infantigo sores. Now, I've got real big scars on my legs from the infantigo. Don't have any on my arms. And the only relief that I could ever get from those sores is when the old dog that we had called Sam would come and lick my sores. In fact, I used to try to wanted to help him. You know, come on. You know, because it felt good. They brought relief. There's something about it, I don't know whether the affection that's in that or what it is, but when a dog licks your sores, it brings a relief to the body. I'm going to tell you wonderful people something. The only relief that Lazarus got was a dog licking his sores. He never got none from the rich man. That was just a gate away, a yard away, a mile away from where he lay. He never got any consideration. He never got any thoughts. The only one that would pay any attention or give him any help was the poor little old dog that would come and lick his sores. And I want to tell you people something. One of the things that I stress in this ministry is your originality, your uniqueness, your oneness in God's image. That when God made you, He didn't make anyone like you. I mean, you're an original. You're an original creation of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Lazarus was an original creation of God. So was the rich man. And it said that the rich man died. I mean, it said, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died also and was buried. I want you to notice in your scripture that it said one was carried and one was buried. And have you noticed in this country what a big fuss we make over our dead when we bury them? I would imagine that they took Lazarus, took his carcass, and pulled it down to the city dump. First of all, nobody wanted to touch him because he was full of sores. No need to embalm this old boy. Just pull him down. He was most of his meat was gone anyhow. He wouldn't cause too big of a stink. Just us fat folks that cause a lot of stink. Amen? So they just probably pulled him down to the city dump and dumped him. But it said the rich man was buried. They probably had a long funeral procession with all the fine linens, the big flowers, and they had a great wake and probably even wanted to pray the rosary. Send the old boy off. All right, now let's listen to this. It said, in his torment in Hades. We're reading in the New Testament. This is a New Testament. This is not the Old Testament. In his torment in Hades. People that will tell you that there's no hell or that there's no devil, I want to tell you, they don't believe the Word of God. In his torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried out. Listen at what he cried. Father Abraham. He knew God. He knew Him. Father Abraham. me, pity me. You see, he's asking for something that he wasn't able to do. He was asking for God to pity him when he wouldn't pity Lazarus at the gate. That's what he was asking. Pity me. Here I am suffering. Here I am in torment. Here I am in the fires of Hades. Lord, pity me and send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger into water and come and place it on my tongue. For I am in agony in these flames. Wonder how much agony Lazarus was in as he laid at the gate. The only relief he got was an old dog licking his sores. It's the only relief he got. Now I want you to listen to what Abraham said to the rich man. He said, "My son." Don't we kind of have a relationship with God like that? We call ourselves sons of God. We call Him Abba Father. Abba Father, and we are the sons. You are the potter, we are the clay, and we sing it. And we get involved. I mean, we just have a good time praising our Father, but ignoring the poor man that lays at our gate. We ignore him. We ignore the needs of our people. We are so self-centered that the praises that we give to God are for our own edification. We never come into the realization of what it is to seek out and help those that have needs. That rich man probably had to walk by old Lazarus every day. Don't get him around me. He stinks. Got sores on his body. And he called Father Abraham, and Abraham said, "My son." Abraham replied, "Remember that during your life, good things came your way." Boy, has good things come our way. I mean, we're just sitting on it. Good things came your way, just as bad way things came the way of Lazarus. The people in Mexico right now, South America, Central America, the Philippines, all over this world, Asia, Africa, bad things have come their way, just as good things have come our way. But you see, what we've done with the good things, we've bottled them up so that people that are having bad ways can't receive. And that's the reason Christianity is 29th on the list of religions. The reason Mormonism is the fastest growing religion in this country. And they don't even believe in Jesus. He was a great prophet, but he's not the Son of God. Brother Joseph Smith is the one that we've got to look at. Isn't that terrible? And it's because we're not willing to live our life for Christ. We're not really committed to the salvation of souls. "My son Abraham, remember that during your life good things came your way just as bad things came the way of Lazarus. Now he is being comforted." Those people are dying along the border. I have great compassion for them, and I'm going to tell you, when they die, they're being comforted. They're being comforted. Lazarus, now he is being comforted here while you are in agony. In other words, it just switched. It just turned. 180. Whing. But that's not all. "Between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed to stop anyone if he wanted to come from your side to ours, to stop anyone from crossing from your side to ours." The rich man replied, "Father Abraham." Listen at it. They're still calling him a rich man. He didn't lose his wealth, but it wouldn't do nothing for him. He couldn't even get a drop of water. Still called him a rich man. The rich man replied, "Father, I beg you then send Lazarus to my father's house, since I have five brothers, to give them warning so that they do not come to this place of torment too." He said, "Oh boy, had compassion. Don't let them come here where I'm at, because this is one hell of a place. and I can't get out. I am fixed here. I can't leave this place. So please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to tell my father and my brothers. Now listen to what Abraham said. You had Moses and the prophets, said Abraham. Let them listen to them. Now listen to what the rich man said. Ah, no, Father Abraham, said the rich man, if someone should come to them from the dead. If someone should come from the dead. If someone should come from the dead. Do we have a cross here anywhere? If someone should come from the dead, they will repent and believe. If someone will just come from the dead, they'll repent. They'll change their lives. Repent means to turn about, to do a 180. We're no longer caught into the fix of the things of this world, but we're caught into the realm of unconditional love. If someone would just come from the dead, they will repent. Then Abraham said to him, if they would not listen to Moses nor the prophets, they will not even be convinced if someone should be raised from the dead. And I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus came to set it right. Jesus came from the dead. Jesus came to show us and give us the blueprint, the straight and narrow road that could be followed. Jesus came from the dead, and we still can't believe. We still are selfish. We still are boastful of what we can do. And I'm going to tell you, wonderful brothers and sisters, you can't do nothing aside of God. You can't do nothing apart from Jesus. And you can't do anything in your own selfishness. You can't do anything in your own pride. It's when we begin to operate in unconditional love that the power of God will manifest itself in this body. It's in love that we serve God. It's not in our selfishness. And I'm going to, brother, listen, this message has not been preached. It's not been preached. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a popular message, because what it does, it brings us into our nothingness. And we like to think that we are something. But in ourself, we're nothing. But in Christ, we're everything. And if we're living in Him, we're living to do the works that He did. We're living to do the acts of mercy. We're living to be channels to let our love flow through this world, that Christianity may become the dominant force in the world to win this soul for Jesus, to win the worlds for Jesus, to be able to present it to Him as a bride without spot or wrinkle. The only thing that will remove spots and wrinkles is love. Love never fails. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth and rust destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. In other words, put your investment in those areas that will win souls for Christ. It is the greatest investing area that you'll ever be exposed to, and it brings the greatest return. It'll just bring a great return. You see, it's God is desiring for the sons of God to be manifest on this earth. But the sons of God will only be manifest until we begin to live like Him. When we begin to take on His attitude. Because if ever the Holy Spirit has spoken to this church, it is through the bishops in Council 2, Vatican Council 2, where we're called to look, to search out those people that have needs. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, help us, Father God, to hit the mark. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to pray in sin. And we know sin, Father, simply means that we miss You in our prayer. Lord Jesus, help us not in our selfishness, but in our generosity. Help us, Lord, not to be arrogant or boastful, but to help us be, Father God, humble at heart, contrite at heart. Let us, Father God, not be puffed up with our own ability, Father God, but let us be moved with the simple knowledge of unconditional love. Lord Jesus, help us this day now as we receive the Eucharist, Your body and blood, Father God, the example that You've given us. Let us receive it today and make the decision that we will operate, Father God, in unconditional love. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And the body of Christ said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.